Welcome to another episode of the Banking on Digital Growth podcast. I'm Audrey Cannata, operations lead here at the Digital Growth Institute. And today we are going to dive deep into the shifting sands of the marketing landscape as a recent LinkedIn post sparked quite the discussion surrounding the evolving role and perspective of marketing. Joining me for today's conversation is founder and CEO of the Digital Growth Institute, James Robert Lay.
Hey, Audrey.
Hello, James Robert. Welcome.
You know, this is a good discussion because that post that you're mentioning here is, it went, I would say, quote unquote, viral. I think there was like 98 comments on it, 320 some odd likes, yes, and 12 shares. So
yes,
it did spark quite the discussion, but it's been something that I've been thinking about a while for myself now about this evolving role of marketing, particularly as we're moving into the age of AI.
Yes, it definitely, I think you texted me on Thursday. Was it Thursday when it was posted?
I think so.
And you were like, this thread is on fire, fire emoji. And I hopped over right away and took a look at it. And yes, it was quite the discussion. And I am excited to get into that today because we have been talking so much about the evolving role of marketing and whether or not marketing has a marketing problem. Yeah. Before we get into hearing your expert insights around the subject, what's good for you personally and professionally?
What is good for me? I'd say coming out of a very positive weekend, my two middle kids out of four, they had a district run and got to run alongside one of them, and they both placed, my daughter placed in number 7th in the district, and then my son was 12, and this is out of a couple hundred kids. And so to have the opportunity to run beside them, we definitely have a active and athletic family for sure.
You do for sure. I mean, I'm sure your kids could certainly outrun me any day. No joke. So let's get into it. This LinkedIn post that you sent me last week, it was posted by Ron Shevlin, and it was inspired from, I believe he was having lunch with a Harvard Business School professor, and the topic of marketing came up and the decline specifically of marketing majors and students being interested in marketing courses. Give us a quick summarize that post for us a little bit, and then we'll break it up piece by piece.
You know, I think there are three key points that Ron touched on, and you just mentioned. Marketing is in a decline at an academic level. I've been thinking about this. I've been writing about this. I've been speaking about this. I even see this firsthand when I do go and lecture at universities. My MBA actually was with a focus in marketing. Now that was almost 20 years ago, but if we think about how quickly that the world has transformed within the last 20 years, even within the last 30 years, going back to 1994, as we've talked about on the podcast, with that being the inflection of the internet reaching the mass consciousness of humanity. Here we are, 2024, the perspective of marketing, the value of marketing, I would say is really being questioned. And that, as a result, from an academic level, is moving its way into the organizational structure. Because marketing is the question of marketing, I would say the value of marketing is being questioned. Boards, CEOs, CFOs, why do we have this to begin with in the first place? Furthermore, it's very hard for marketing to gain traction within an organization when you consider the fact that the average tenure of a CMO is 18 months. That's a year and a half. I mean, if you go in, you're going to take the first 90 days to just gain a sense of perspective, go on a listening tour. Well, you've got 12 to 15 months after that to, you know, start making some progress. But really, and this is what Ron touched on, it's what I've been talking about, marketing, and I'm going to quote Ron, marketing isn't doing a good job of marketing itself. And that's what I have been saying. And we've talked about this before on the podcast, this conflict, this tension between CMO and CEO. And even if your financial brand doesn't have a CMO per se, we can say SVP, VP, etc. Mm-hmm. And so what we're seeing and observing firsthand, however, is not only marketing having a marketing problem within their organization, marketing teams are getting tired. They are getting burned out. They are frustrated. And as a result, we are seeing marketing leaders leave the industry and seeking quote unquote greener pastures elsewhere.
Yeah, 100%. So let's bring it back. You mentioned there was three main points, and let's just start at the first one, the decline of marketing in academia. Where's the interest being lost? I mean, students aren't thinking that it's worth their time, their effort to enroll in these courses. I think one of the comments in the LinkedIn post was talking about changing the names, changing the naming structures on some of these marketing classes is actually influencing more people to join because it's not coming across as marketing. More so, was it influence or consumer? Do you remember the name?
Go back and look at these comments. Yeah, I'm having to go back and look here, but it was...
Consulting toolkits.
Consulting toolkits.
Instead of marketing research.
But you see, that's a marketing opportunity right there, because even hearing you share what you just shared, you used the exact word of how we define marketing in one word, which is influence. And right, that simple change of verbiage, which is really communication, changes the perception of what someone attending this class would receive. So instead of it being called marketing research, boring, it's now being framed as consulting toolkits.
Yeah, words have power too. And I think, you know, when I think of consulting, I think expert. Mm-hmm. When I hear toolkits, I'm walking away with something. Marketing research, you're right, yawn, boring.
And I think...
And vague.
Very. And that idea of vagueness, what is really happening is that there's a lack of clarity into the value that I'm going to receive by attending one of these classes. That lack of clarity is rooted deeply further in confusion. And as Donald Miller often says, if you confuse, you lose. And... Yep. When we think about this academia issue here, we also have to think about curriculum. So the curriculum being talked and facilitated is out of touch with what's going on in the quote unquote real world. I'm very empathetic to that fact because of the speed of change and transformation at a macro level. Right. What's driving that? It's exponential technologies. What is the result of this exponential technology growth? Transformation of the competitive landscape, transformation of the way that people connect and communicate. And I think that's the key thing that I want to keep coming back to, is this idea of communication. And then the third transformation is the way that people shop and make purchase decisions.
Right. So is it safe to say that, and you've been on college campuses, mm-hmm. the curriculum is part of the problem. The curriculum is not evolving. And I think you made this note that yes, the platforms are changing. The tactics might be changing, but the overall general theme of marketing and strategies may not be. And if we're going to look at marketing being influence,
right,
whether or not the platforms, the technology changes, there should still be some similar themes transpiring through throughout time.
Yeah. And you also have to kind of consider what is piquing the interest of students today. True. And you've touched on this, you've used this word a couple of times, technology. I will say this, and if we kind of take this idea of perspective coming from academia to then practically apply this within financial services, within financial brands, what a leader learned about marketing during a set period of time is directly going to influence their perception of marketing. Case in point, if a leader's perception of marketing, and we'll say maybe belief is a better word than perception, if their beliefs about marketing were formed pre-internet, so pre-1994, they might subconsciously perceive marketing as broadcast, billboard, radio, TV, direct mail, newspaper ads.
One to many.
Right. And that's a subconscious belief, because theoretically, practically speaking, yes, they do know marketing has evolved. They're smart. They read. They go to conferences. Maybe they listen to this podcast. But their belief system that runs deep within the subconscious mind, you have to consider this. 95% of our actions, behaviors, habits that are just repeated actions, behaviors, 95% of that runs at a subconscious level. So flash forward, that's pre-internet. Now, let's say you have a leader who has a different experience, but their belief about marketing was formed from 94 to say 2008. And we'll call that web 1.0. So yes, it's the quote unquote internet age. However, from my experience, that belief system and structure about marketing, that perception about marketing, is still informed by traditional broadcast methodologies, one to many, except now it's not billboards, it's rotating banner ads on a website's homepage.
Right.
It's mass email out to account holders. It's buying ads to create awareness for something, but there's still not much thought about targeting, personalization, down to the product line, down to the persona. And that then leads us into the third evolution of belief and perspective about marketing, which would be informed and influenced by Web 2.0. So now we're looking at like 2008, and I'll call it to 2022. Web 2.0, you're thinking social media, content, video, podcast. And that perspective and belief system, I am hypothesizing, is about to get massively transformed, or needs to be massively transformed, as we're entering into this whole new Web 3.0 age of AI going forward.
So I wonder how much of this is because marketing has just changed so rapidly in the last couple decades, and this college courses or whatever just maybe can't quite keep up. If you think about, you know, traditionally who's going to be a college professor, it's someone who has years and years of experience and can bring that. Well, that's not happening, because we're all learning, literally learning in real time. And maybe college campuses aren't the place to go to get your education on marketing and, you know, modern marketing strategies. I don't know. I'm going to throw that out there. Is that a possibility?
Well, you ask a very important question. And as a father of four who is kind of questioning education at a macro level, I don't know, and I don't have the answer. I know that what has historically been true is no longer true going forward. And to your point, if you think about the evolution of marketing just within the last 30 years, the tactics have changed.
Right.
But there's still an underlying truth that we cannot forget. And I think that it was what has been forgotten. And it's the fact of what is marketing to begin with in the first place, and how does marketing create value? And that comes back to that one word. Marketing is influence. The problem is when we work with a financial brand and we guide them through the Banking on Digital Growth program, and then we do a digital growth blueprint and a diagnostic with them, and we ask the marketing team and we ask other key stakeholders, what is marketing to you in one word? And the responses come back: ads, email, social media, content. Those are marketing tactics, and more specifically, those are marketing channels. Those are communication channels. Those channels are how we influence. But if we forget the fact that marketing is influence, and what are we influencing through marketing? What are we influencing through communication? It is the beliefs that people have about our brand. It is about influencing the behaviors that they have with their money. We're influencing them to move from bank A or credit union A to bank B or credit union B. Mm-hmm. Once again, what has technology transformed? It has transformed the competitive landscape. It has transformed the way that people connect and communicate. It has transformed the way that people shop, buy, consume. And it has happened at such an exponential pace that the tactics have changed, yes, but we cannot forget the core foundations. And I think that as we keep moving forward into this age of AI, maybe we need to come back to the basics of marketing to begin with in the first place, because AI is going to multiply whatever we have. AI is going to multiply. If we have a strong foundation, if we have a strong marketing strategy rooted in influence, communication, then absolutely AI can amplify that and provide additional capability and clarity to the marketplace to differentiate. But if we do not have a strong foundational marketing strategy built on influencing beliefs, perception, behaviors, habits, and if all we're doing is communicating the same commoditized rates and service that we always have and that everyone always is still communicating now, well, of course we can question, well, what's the value of marketing? And
yeah,
AI is just going to amplify that.
Yeah. So I want to jump now to point number three, because I think this actually ties in really well. So there is maybe a rewiring mindset shift when it comes to marketing. You're saying going back to the foundations, the basics, establishing, this idea of influence. Mm. Well, James Robert, that's going to take some time. That's going to take dedication to step away from your day-to-day job to spend time to learn, to think, to reflect, to shift your thinking in your systems. But like, I believe it was John Huntinghouse. He yes. commented on the post, and I love this. I mean, I don't love it, but it was worded so great. Marketers don't starve. We drown. Mm. And we know this from all of the different, I mean, we've spoken to so many people in our community, marketers who literally feel this way. They're drowning. There is no time to break away, to learn, to change. So they're just on this like hamster wheel.
Yeah.
They're just doing the same thing over and over again and just continuing on answering orders. What do you say? What is your advice then? Because it's going to take time.
Well, that's where absolutely. And that's where I say like all hope is not lost, because I mean, this, it can feel, and we see it. We see it in our future growth index with these teams. The organizations who have a consistent habit to break free from what they've been doing, to create that intentional space and time to pause, reflect, review on what has been done, to create awareness of the progress that has been made, what that is doing right there for them is increasing their confidence. Because to the point of John saying, marketers don't starve, they drown. When you are fulfilling the last minute demands of different business line leaders day in and day out, you are on a hamster wheel and you will get tired and you will get burned out unless you create the space to pause and to review, to reflect, because that's how you measure progress. Otherwise, you're always looking at this future horizon line and it's like my kids in a car. Dad, are we there yet? No, but look at how far we've come. And it's a reframing, to your point, rewiring of the way we think, the way that we operate. The second point, when I think about these teams and these organizations going through the 90-day growth method, first they review, they reflect, then they're learning. They're continuously expanding their capability. They're gaining new skills. They're curious. They're going back to kindergarten. And I love working with individuals and teams who have these characteristics because they are growth-minded.
Yeah.
And they realize that if they don't make this investment, and a lot of times it's just an investment of time. If they don't make the investment of time, then the future is going to be a little bit chaotic. And then the last,
what's the definition? Let's say, what's the definition of insanity? Doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results.
Exactly. And that brings us to the last point here. When you pause and reflect and review, you can even learn through that experience of what worked well, what could be even better, but you also must create that space and time to just think, because it's distilling down the knowledge that you've gained, whether it's through reviewing an experience or listening to a podcast, watching a video, reading an article, reading a book, attending a conference. If you don't intentionally think about how to apply that knowledge, well, then it's just noise. And so creating space and time to review, learn, think about how to do even better every 90 days, I have seen it time and time again. It guarantees a team and an organization will really make exponential leaps in their personal, their professional growth, their marketing growth, their lead gen, their lead nurture, their loan growth, their deposit growth. It really is all interconnected. And I think the irony of it is it has nothing to do with what a lot of people are thinking about right now, which is technology.
Yeah, very true. So let's kind of back this up and then we'll take it to the third and final point. So marketing, we've kind of redefined the meaning the perception. And now let's say we brought this to our team and our marketing team, and we have taken the time to step away, to learn, to think, to review, to do things even better. But there's still a little bit of a gap here because you may have a solid marketing team, but there's still an issue in the boardroom. Marketing is still struggling to be seen as, you know, as a strategic role in the boardroom. How can we bridge that gap then? So your marketing team is solid. They get it, but there's still this perception in the boardroom of marketing.
You know, I look at this almost kind of from a military strategy perspective, because if we think about military strategy, there are two fronts. You've got the external marketing front and influencing beliefs and behaviors with prospects in the community and account holders. But then there's this internal front, and it's almost what's more important. And I would say maybe it's the internal front is more important, because if we do not gain the trust, and that's the key word, if we do not gain the trust in the boardroom, marketing will continue to be perceived as a glorified in-house Kinko's there to serve the last minute demands of business lines internally. And as I've mentioned before, and I've written about, kids that play with paint and crayons. And we've heard that. You've heard this. Like that's how others perceive marketing teams within the organizations. And I'm very empathetic to this fact. Yeah, exactly. I'm very empathetic to this fact because, you know, I was interviewed for an article by the Financial Brand, and the title of the article was "Why Banks Are Saying Goodbye to the CMO." And I would say my only critique to the article was they didn't interview a CMO at a bank for the article, but it was one of these, like, I understand maybe why they interviewed a couple of other people, but there was some very specific research here that came from a firm named Boathouse. And what they found is 3 in 10 chief executives gave their marketing teams a rating of above average. I don't like the way that that's framed. I would put this another way. 7 out of 10 executives gave their marketing teams a rating of below average. Only about half the CEO's survey rated their marketing capability as best in class, and quote, demonstrating a real lack of trust in marketing department's ability to drive revenue. And then 20% of CEOs, so 2 out of 10, said the CMO is, quote, on my side. I trust them. Now, we have to consider this research was done September and October of 2023. Whenever I wrote Banking on Digital Growth, I looked at some similar research that was done by the 4&A's group. And context of time, that research was from around like 2019 time period. Mm-hmm. And what I found back then is 8 out of 10 CEOs don't trust marketers. About 8 out of 10 CEOs said that they would like marketers to focus on tracking KPIs. They believe that 7 to 8 out of 10 marketers are using the wrong KPIs to track and improve ROI. And then 8 to 9 out of 10 marketers mistake, and this is the key, they mistake engagement for conversion. We see that exact same thing through the work that we do with financial brand marketing teams, because, oh, they clicked on the call to action. Let's chalk that up for a conversion.
Yeah, success.
Mm-hmm. So engagement does not equal conversion. And so it all comes down to this one word. It's trust. And really, if you think about marketing, tying it back to this idea of influence, marketing is really just about change management. And I think the question is how do you transform people's beliefs first? Before you even change their behavior, you have to change their belief. And the first step is you have to get them to trust you. And how do you get to someone to trust you? Well, you have to continually communicate clarity to them by making what I've said before, by making these micro deposits into the trust fund that sits between their ears. And how do you make these micro deposits? You share your thoughts, your ideas, your insights, your expertise as a marketing leader to other leaders within the organization so that you can provide them with clarity to guide them beyond the confusion and the conflict that they might have about marketing. And what is true, this type of logical thinking can be applied to the external world of marketing, prospects and account holders, but the same logic applies just as much internally with other key leaders, C-suite, boards of directors.
So AI, fear, do we fear it? Do we fight it? Or do we friend it as marketers? And this is kind of tying back to another debate that was sparked recently by Sam Altman, who said that, 95% of what marketers use agencies for will be handled by AI. And it's headlines like those, I think, spark a little fear in marketers. So how do we tackle this and move forward and with confidence?
Yeah, you could say that it sparks fear in marketers, but what I would be more in tune to is how are those headlines influencing the beliefs of other senior leaders within an organization who do nothing more than just read the headline? Because once again, think subconscious mind here. Yeah. Marketing already has a marketing or a perception problem within an organization. Marketing is viewed as a cost center. And if we're thinking, 95% of marketing could be replaced by AI, or marketing activities could be replaced by AI, I might not be consciously thinking this, but subconsciously it's like, well, why do we need marketing anymore? And I think that's a very slippery slope to go down, because this is the gap. Once again, the future of marketing will definitely be a collaboration between humans and AI. AI will do a lot of the heavy lifting, but people will provide the contextual perspective of the human condition.
Right.
And one of the elements of the human condition is indeed fear. And your question, do we fear it? Do we fight it? Do we friend it? We have to be very aware of our own beliefs, because the human condition, when something new is introduced, is to typically fear it.
Yep. And then you're the unknown.
Exactly. And then we have to, well, why? Why? What's making me uncomfortable here? We could fight it. And that's, once again, that's another natural human response to change.
Yeah.
I want to fight for what I believe to be true, and I will fight for what I believe to be true, even though philosophically I know what used to be true is no longer true. But I will take that my belief, I will ride that down to the bottom of the ocean, just like a sinking Titanic, because it's what I know and it's what I cling to. This is where you and I, we've done a lot of work on this as individuals.
Yes.
You got to let go to grow. Yes. And that's where I think my own personal experiences, I'm very empathetic to a lot of what marketing leaders are feeling, what executive and senior leadership team members are feeling. I'm very, very empathetic to the fact But then it's this last piece. Do we friend it? And I think that is where we look at this not as a replacement, but as an augmentation to capability, to capacity, and our what AI does not have is human experience.
Yeah.
And if we can leverage that, that's our capability multiplier.
For sure. And I mean, I can empathize. I remember when ChatGPT first came out, you were all over it. I mean, just sending me texts and like videos and look what I did, look what this can do. And I was almost, it was overwhelming. And that's just, a lot of that has to do with my Colby as a resistant quick start. And I like my systems and my procedures. It took me so long to jump in because I didn't know what to do. I didn't know how to work it. I didn't know how to leverage it. Part of me, I had to get over this personal block that like I was cheating somehow. Cause at that point I was doing a ton of content writing and I kept thinking, oh, this is like, this is, doesn't feel right. Again, that probably goes back to my teacher, the teacher in me too. But once I got past that and realized, no, this is, these are still not everyone. We can all use the platform to help us, but it's still my expertise and my thoughts and my knowledge that was driving it. I just used ChatGPT to basically put a nice little bow on it, wrap it up, polish it up, things that I could easily do myself in 4 to 5 hours. But why? Let ChatGPT, you know, polish it up, put the little dot my T's, cross my I's before I push it out.
This actually would make another really good conversation, is to kind of go back and reflect on just your own transformation of thought and action. But really, I think it's the topic of today's conversation is really your belief system here. Yeah. And we were having a systems and process meeting recently, and I tongue in cheeked, like, and it was to make a point, maybe within my own thought process of, well, why do you need to even be here? Because I could just have this conversation with ChatGPT at that point.
Yeah.
And I was working through my thought. I was, after I said what I said, I was like, that was such a jerk thing to say out loud.
I don't even remember that.
I do. Cause I'm like, it was one of those things that I was thinking out loud and I should not have said what I said, but it was to make a point to myself. Like I was working through a thought in my own head and then I verbalized it.
I'm glad I didn't hear it.
But we had a conversation about it because I immediately said, no, the value you're creating here is because of your experience and your perspective, context, your framework. Because as much as I could sit there and have a dialogue and discussion and discourse with ChatGPT, and I have, and I've been showing people how to do the same. And it literally is a conversation to where I'm actually asking ChatGPT, ask me the questions. So it's almost like I'm using ChatGPT to prompt me, which I don't really see a lot of people thinking and talking about right now. They're talking about prompting ChatGPT. And I'm like, no, let's reverse engineer this. Let's use this as a way to question me.
Correct.
To challenge my own perspective or to clarify my own thinking. And that was my point when I said, no, the value you create is experience.
Right.
It is the human experience. And I want to like just pause on that because that's what we have. That is our human experience is our exponential multiplier. Our experience is our IP.
It is. Cannot, makes us us.
It is. And your experience is different than my experience, is different than someone's experience who is listening to this. And based upon their experience, they're thinking and perceiving differently than what you or I have. And if they were to inject an entry into this conversation, then we would learn something from them and we're going to walk away that much better because we're just seeing things differently, which comes back to the point that we were talking about before with this 90-day growth method of why it's going to be so critical for marketing teams and leadership teams to create space and time to pause, review, reflect, learn, think, to do even better over the next 90 days, because at the rate of change that the world is massively evolving. I think about just our own podcast process. I think we've iterated on this thing probably 3 times now in the past 9 months. Small incremental changes. But as the AI continues to evolve, we're seeing new capabilities that could allow us to be the best. And the best is an acronym that we teach here, which is better. Take something that's good, make it great. The E is efficient. The S is scalable. And the T, most importantly, is it's teachable.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, we are able to put out more content, more original thinking because of AI. Doing all the back end work for us has given us more time to be on camera, to share more, because we're not having to do all of the nitty gritty things that we could have with AI. I think this is a really great spot to wrap up on, circling back on the importance of that 90-day growth method and setting time apart to learn, to think, to do, to review. So James Robert, what can somebody do next who is listening? They get it. Okay, marketing, we've got to reframe, redefine what marketing is. We need to, reshape how they are perceived. What is one step that someone can take next to move forward here?
Gain perspective of other people's perspective within the organization about their belief of what marketing is and why it exists. And if the perspective comes back as it is tactical, it's ads, emails, social media, etc., then we know that there's an opportunity to help transform their perspective by education, by guiding, by providing insight, examples. But we cannot forget the fact that marketing comes down to one thing, which is just simply influence, and influencing people's beliefs, influencing people's behaviors, their actions, their feelings, their emotions. And that's a massive responsibility, particularly in the world of financial services, where we can make such a positive impact on the lives of people in the communities that we serve.
Yeah. And how about one more thing? Right now, I mean, after we soft launched our digital growth community, we have quite a few marketers in there. Can they invite somebody? Can they invite someone in the C-suite? Invite their executive team to join the community to help learn alongside each other and understand kind of this common language?
The team that learns together grows together. And we've heard this idea of establishing a common language for growth. That I'll never forget that. That was Tiffany over at Centere. She talked about that as the value that was created for her and for her team of 25 or 30 executives, from Mike, who was the CEO, all the way across different business lines. So the digital growth community is definitely something that we have brought together and are looking to facilitate and build alongside others, because that is where you can make connections. You can gain clarity. You can connect and collaborate with other growth-minded leaders. And the more that we bring into the community to connect, to learn, to grow, the better off we're all going to be going forward into a future that we get to create together.
100%. So I think feel free to drop myself or James Robert a DM, email, and we can certainly get you and your team invited into the digital growth community.
Absolutely. This has been a lot of fun today.
Good conversation. I'm glad we rolled with this one today just because it was so timely.